Helping Hand, weekly feature, airing statewide on HPR1 stations Fridays as part of All Things Considered, and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments end up being archived. Helping Hand tries to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to folks with disabilities and others who are among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're learning about a program that our returning guest, Helping Hands Hawaii, have been involved in for some time. It's called Ready to Learn, and it's an annual school supply drive you may have heard about or participated in, actually, for at-risk students. And it's going to be running through July 31st. Program gives low-income and houseless students free basic educational tools to aid in their development. And there's a banking partner, American Savings Bank. They're going to be collecting some school supplies, monetary donations, June 11th through July 11th at their branches statewide. People can also donate at the Helping Hands Hawaii location and online, and we'll learn more about the program and what's going on with the president and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii, Jan Harada, who returns to Helping Hand now. Good to see you. Thanks.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. And just before we get into this particular angle of some of the things that you do in general, Helping Hands Hawaii does what? How do you guys operate as a nonprofit?
We like to say we focus on three primary things. We help immigrants who have trouble with language accessing basic life necessities by providing interpreters in 19 languages 24/7. We also have housing stabilization, something that Ready to Learn falls into, which is basically helping families through emergency situations to make sure that their house and home environment is more stable, that allows them to work towards a better quality of life in a number of different ways. And then we have a whole third of our operation is what we call behavioral health services. We provide mental health and addiction services for adults that are struggling with mental illness or addiction, most of whom are also struggling with poverty or homelessness. So those are kind of our three main areas of focus, all at-risk, highly vulnerable populations.
Yeah, that's for sure. How do you guys get the money to do all this?
We are approximately $4 to $5 million operating budget. Half of that is government. It's a combination of federal, state, county, and the rest is a 30-something percent is fee-for-service, money that we generate on our own for our services. And then the rest are contributions, grants, a little bit of rental income from some, you know, office space that we rent out in our building. So we try to be as diverse as possible because that's really important.
And so people for this thing can kind of help in a couple of different ways. They could do supplies if they wanted to, or they can make a donation. The school supply donations supplement pre-ordered bulk supplies, I was reading online, in the school supply kits purchased with donated and grant-awarded funds for students of all grade levels. The kits contain the common supplies found on the DOE's back-to-school list. The kits are valued at approximately $10 each. Is it better for the process for folks to donate cash so that you can come up with these kits, or to donate? I mean, how does it, what do you see when you ask for support?
I think it's both. I think if they're going to donate supplies, we encourage people to look at the list that's on our website, mm-hmm. because those are the most needed items and stick to that list. I say that because sometimes, you know, if you donate like a specialty item, we cannot give that out during the regular push because it would be unfair to the 4,000 mm-hmm. other kids. We'd have to have 4,000 of that item. So we always ask people, if you're going to donate supplies, which is a great help, do so off the list that we have on our website. Monetary donations, though, if you're not able to, you know, donate specific items, are also very well used. We order in bulk. We spend usually $20,000 to $25,000 on just purchasing in bulk what we know might not come in through, you know, the school supply drives that people host.
4,000 kids, is that what this serves each year?
Well, actually, the number is closer to probably 6,000 to 7,000, but the 4,000 number is what we try to push out before the start of the new school year. A lot of times, people do these push, you know, in the summer before the start of the year. What they don't think about is that, you know, people run out.
Right.
The school supplies don't last the whole entire school year. So
yeah, it's a
things
starter
run out.
Kit, basically.
Yeah, it's a starter kit. So things run out, people lose things happen to your supplies. So we offer the school supplies throughout the year through our community clearinghouse.
And then we'll have the list on your Helping Hand post that we have for it. But I'll read it out once. The school supplies in highest demand, at least, ballpoint pens that are black or blue, binders 1 inch, blunt scissors 4.5 inches, composition books wide ruled, crayons 24 count, erasers, folder paper, glue 4 ounces, number 2 pencils, 2 pocket portfolios, rulers, spiral notebooks 1 subject wide ruled, a lot of the basic stuff, but as we know from, we recently just had PACT on, Parents and Children Together Hawaii, who I'm sure you know all about.
Yes, absolutely.
And yeah, a lot of times, you know, they're trying to educate kids, homeless kids in a park. And you think of the supplies, the basic things that a lot of folks take for granted, and I think of this list, and it reminds me of that.
Yeah, absolutely. These are just very basic items.
Really basic stuff. And if you're moved by the fact that if you're moved by the fact that there are some folks in our community who are having these kind of challenges, these economic-based challenges, individuals, organizations, and corporations can do their own fundraising drives to take your effort a little further and tap into some of your passion that this may cause to arise. You can volunteer to pack donated school supply kits as well, right? And there's a RTL community partner application folks can find online to get involved. And this is sort of a way to take your philanthropic effort to another level, correct?
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think there's so many different ways to support this effort that it's, you know, it really depends on what people's preferences are. You know, some people, well, you know, I really don't have the money to contribute, but I still want to support, so I'd love to come and volunteer. You know, so there's so many ways that you can help. We appreciate any and all help in different ways.
And after the bank locations are no longer accepting donations, and again, that is going to be June 11th through July 11th. After that, should people bring, if they have physical items they want to drop off through the end of the drive, which is going to be July 31st, should they bring them to your location weekdays 8 to 4:30 at your main office on Nimitz?
Yes, I think that would be the best. Right now, we're still building our list of also other community businesses that might want to do drives. So I would say check in on the website because there might be also more convenient locations
to drop it off,
might be doing drives, yes.
Like what we were talking about. So other people who harness to do one of their own sort of...
And the thing is, you know, one thing to mention is that there's so much need out there that it, you know, every little bit helps. People think, well, how come my thing make a difference? It makes a difference.
And will this be for any homeless children too? Or
there are homeless children that are, we distribute through our partner network. So we have 100 plus partners that refer families who have children of school age that need support with school supplies. And they are arranged from families that are struggling with poverty, but housed to families that are homeless.
Okay, so
it's a range.
Is PACT part of your thing?
I believe so.
And they give you? All right. But you know that name. You know who I'm
talking. Oh, yes. We know who PACT is.
Yeah. Okay. So let me give you their web address where, again, as Jan was saying, you can find out updated information for another drop-off point if it's easier for you. Or obviously, you can take advantage of dropping it off at their office or any of those ASB locations from June 11th to July 11th. HelpingHandsHawaii.org. where you can get that information online. 536-7234 if you want to give them a buzz, if you have a question, if you have an idea for doing something that we haven't mentioned, or you want to seize on a cool way to help out and start something really exciting. That's a great way to call them and do it. You can email them via a form at their website or hhh@helpinghandshawaii.org. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all the contact information, and all of our other previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org, where all the Helping Hand segments are archived online. Is there more about this that I have somehow failed to mention?
I wouldn't say failed. one other additional way is on June 30th, we're going to be out at the Sam's Club and Walmart on Keomoku Street with our partners KITV and both those stores, as well as Ohana Broadcasts. We do a one-day drive. They call it School Tools. It's a KITV initiative that Ohana Broadcasts is a part of. And we collect monetary donations as well as school supplies. And so that's another way, that's another area, another location that people can do a drop-off. It's from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The TV personalities will be out there. The radio will be out there. There'll be a lot of folks out there helping collect. So that's one other way. And then the other thing, just the last thing to mention I'd like to say is that, you know, there are a number of different also school supply drives. What I tell people when they ask, oh, how come there's so many? Isn't there an overlap? I said, well, no, because the need is great. The last statistics I've seen, you know, I mean, that I always like to share is that of the, you know, 190,000 plus public school students in K-12, close to 50% of them are from households that qualify for the free or reduced lunch program, which means those are all households that are struggling economically in some way. And that's, you know, talking about 88,000 plus students that are coming from households that are struggling. So
it's half the state.
Yeah, so almost half the student body population in the public school system. You know, so any school supply drive you support, whether it's ours or somebody else's, is going to really go towards a good cause, because it's just, there's just, the need is just so great, you know. And sure, the national statistics show that the average spent on back to school spending is close to $700.
Is there a national average on how many people, like if it's 50% of public school kids here get the free lunch, how many, what is there?
I don't have the national stat, but that's definitely available. That'd be easy for us to look
at. This would be higher than that?
I think we're probably a little bit higher.
Half the kids, I'm just trying to remember my high school.
Yeah.
But it's so long ago, I can't really dial in on what that.
It is very high. I don't know if how it compares to the national.
Just seems it when you say it. But sometimes any number can be when you just
but
take it out.
50% is.
I mean, it sounds bad.
88,000 kids from households that are struggling.
There's no question.
There is no danger of overlap because the need is great.
Yeah, I hear you. That's humbling stuff. Yeah. Half the kids at public school getting free lunch is, it leaves a lot to ponder.
Yes, it does.
And always does when you're on with your, this is a cool way to help out kids that could use a break on some really basic stuff that a lot of folks grew up having in their backpack, dragging around, not thinking much about. And now as an adult, it takes on a whole different light when you think about, you know, crayons and glue and all this stuff for somebody, you know, who may not even have a house. It's Jan Harada, President and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii and the Ready to Learn program. Thanks for doing it, and thanks for, again, taking time to come back to Helping Hand and always share this humbling stuff. It always leaves me thinking, and I appreciate you doing that.
Thanks, Dave.